You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I am your host, Adam Miller, and we have as our guest today to talk about a new book called Too Amazing to Keep to Yourself, the author Ken Wilson. And this book about evangelism comes from somebody who knows quite a bit about evangelism. I would say he is an evangelist. Ken, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks, Adam.
Ken, tell us a little bit about your background. What is your passion for evangelism? What's that rooted in?
Sure. Well, at about age 15, a friend of mine brought the gospel to me, and I fought him off. I was hard on him. I told him to knock it off. And for a whole year, he kept at it and kept bringing me the gospel and being a friend, and he prayed for me. And finally, at the end of a whole year, I gave in, and it was partly to get Jay to knock it off, and it was partly from the heart. And that built into me a hunger to bring friends to the Lord, as he had done to me. And the book is all about both how to bring the gospel to friends, but it's about how to do it in a way that's not beating them over the head, and that's not hard on your friends, and that's not hard on you, too.
I like how you begin the book. Part one of this book, Too Amazing to Keep to Yourself, starts off by, most evangelistic books, I would say, start off with an appeal to challenge people to go and witness, but you start off with explaining what the gospel message is, and I think that's the most powerful way to start. If we're going to talk about what we communicate, we have to get back to the basics, and sometimes I think that there's some things that we don't define, and it doesn't give us a good place to start. Why did you start there?
Well, I felt like if we don't define what is the gospel, then that's the theme of the whole thing. That's the core of the whole thing, is the gospel. If it weren't for the gospel, the book wouldn't even be a book. So I just felt like up front, we need to define what is the content of the gospel. And then in part two, we go into the why of bringing our friends to the Lord. And then part three is who on earth can I ever bring to the Lord? And then four is the main thing, and that's the how. So I felt the need to do the what, the content of the gospel up front, just to define what is the content of what we're hoping to bring to our friends.
I think it's great that we're not starting off by assuming people understand the gospel when we're telling them the message that they're communicating. That is, as you say, the very core of what we're trying to communicate, and it's a very key set of ideas. So why don't you explain to our listeners, just in brief, what is the gospel message condensed way, what is the gospel message that we're trying to communicate?
Sure, Adam. Well, the first thing, and I would argue the main thing, is that God loves me and he loves you. He loves all of us. And it's awesome to think, when you look up at the heavens and the stars and everything up there, that the God who formed all those things loves me. He takes an interest in me. But the bad thing is, we don't live up to what God expects. We sin, and we don't fulfill what God demands of us. And God is holy and just and perfect, and he expects us to live the way he's commanded us, and we don't. So that's called sin. And the penalty of that is that we can't live with God. We can't go to heaven, and we can't live with him here on the earth. But in his love, he took the hit. He paid the debt that we owe, and that was done by the cross. The cross is in order to fulfill the penalty, the payment that we owe for sin. And he took the hit for us. And we can know him. We can come to him. We can live with him forever. And it's not due to anything that we've done, because we just can't be that good. It's due to our faith in what he's done for us on the cross. And that's the gospel. That's the gospel. It's built around the love he has for us, and it's built around what he's done for us upon the cross.
Now, this is a book about, the title here, Too Amazing to Keep to Yourself. Obvious, the title says a lot right there in that one little sentence. Tell our listeners, what is the very ethos of this book based upon this title?
for me, I have a built-in fear that I'm going to beat folks over the head. I have friends who have been hurt by those who brought theological things to them too harshly. And so I have, for me, a built-in fear that I'm gonna be too strong and beat people over the head. So, but I can't let that stop me. And so I have friends who are thanking me now for bringing the gospel to them. And it can be done in a way that's not beating them over the head. And so I'm compelled by two strong things. One is just the urge to convey to others what my friend conveyed to me, the gospel, because I'm just so thankful that Jay had the conviction and the love and the courage to bring the gospel to me. And I long to bring that to other friends, but I long to in a way that's not doing harm and not beating them over the head. So the book is all about how to tell the most amazing thing to your friends in a way that is going to keep them as friends. For me, I don't have anyone who's angry at me. Well, there's one I can think of, but apart from her, I can't think of anyone who's angry for me bringing the gospel to them, but I can think of a whole bunch who are thanking me for bringing the gospel to them.
Seeing that the gospel is so faith-based, it's based in grace as well. And with grace as the foundation of our gospel message, it would seem that you get more flies with honey than vinegar, although someone says, I don't know why we want flies. But the saying goes that our presentation should be a positive one. As we know, the Bible says the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's a pretty positive message, isn't it?
Yeah, and the content of the gospel can offend people. And I found for me, if the content of what I bring to folks offends them, I can't fix that. The gospel is the gospel, and it can offend because it indicates that we can't be right with God on our own. We have to have what's been done for us on the cross. And there's a whole bunch of folks out there who that's offensive to. So for me, if the content of what I bring offends, I can't help that. But if the way I bring it offends, then that's bad, and I want to fix that. So I work hard to tell the gospel in all of its truth, even the parts that offend, but I try to in a way that's not offensive, though, in a caring and loving and friendly way.
I think it is interesting when we try to communicate the gospel message. Some will say, if you're not offending anybody, then you're really not communicating the gospel. The gospel, at its core, is offensive because of the nature that it says that we're not able to save ourselves, that we need to depend upon the sanctifying work of another. And yet, some people try to communicate the gospel message that are approaching it with a means of getting right to the conviction point without showing the grace. And others will try to do the opposite, where they communicate just the grace without bringing people to a conviction of their own sins. What is the balance there? You've been sharing your faith since you were 15 years old. So what is the balance there in communicating both of those aspects to the person you're trying to witness to?
Wow. I think it's that we cannot do the whole thing. We cannot convict hearts. We cannot change hearts. But the three things that I think we can do, and the three things that Jay did to me, is one, he loved me. He's a friend. He became a friend and took an interest and loved me. And then two is he explained the gospel. He used words to convey the content of the gospel. And three is he prayed. He prayed his heart out. And he even indicated at the end that when he prayed, he would cry because he longed for me to know the God that he knew. So those three things, loving me, using words to convey the gospel, and then pray, are three things that we can do. But if we try to convict hearts and change hearts and all that, that's not our role. That's God's role. So that's beyond what we can do. And people often think, is it a bigger deal to love them and be a friend and be a good witness, or to use words to convey the content of the gospel? And I would answer, what is a bigger deal on the plane, the left wing or the right wing? And I think that you need each of the wings. You need each of them. And if Jay had lived a good life and loved me and all that, but didn't articulate the gospel, I wouldn't have gotten it. And if he had articulated the gospel, but didn't be a friend and love me, I wouldn't have cared. So he had to do each of those, and he did. And that's the key.
You're talking here as well about the need or why we should share our faith with our friends and our loved ones. I guess this is probably an important case to make because we live in a culture where tolerance, at least the world's definition of tolerance, is supreme. And it's almost offensive to even tell people that what their idea is or what their thoughts are wrong. So why do you have to make the case? Why is it so important that we make this case that it is important if we believe in our faith, if we believe in Jesus Christ, that we are obligated to tell the world about it?
Yeah. That is a huge thing. In the culture in which we live, people believe that a whole bunch of folks think that everything is equally true. And being tolerant in the past, I think, meant that you respect and love those who think other than you. And that's good. That's the right thing. But these days, we take it to mean that everyone is equally true. Everything is equally true. And that's just the culture in which we live, I think. So for me, the why is twofold. It's one is to obey the Lord. We are the means that God picked to convey the gospel to the world. And if I were God, I wouldn't have picked me, but he did pick me and he picked us. He picked all of us as the means to communicate the gospel to the world. And the other thing, though, is love for people. Jay loved me enough to risk bringing the gospel to me, and I was hard on him. I beat him up. I was tough on him, and he hung in there. So it's love for people, and I'm so thankful now that at age 58, that was at age 15, I'm now 58, I'm just so thankful that Jay had the guts to bring it to me. And we lost touch when we were 16. The next year, he and I lost touch. And so for a long, long time, he had no idea the impact he had upon me. And when the internet emerged back in the 90s, I think it is, I just felt the need to find him and say, thank you, Jay, thank you. You have no idea the impact that you've had. So I looked up the name, and there's hundreds of them. So I would call a handful each year, and I didn't find him. And year after year, I would call looking for him to thank him, and I didn't find him. And then about 5 years ago, I found him, and he was blown away at the thought that there's a friend out there who he'd had an impact on, who he had no idea. And I just felt the need to thank him. And so there might be folks out there, for those who are hearing me, who you've had an impact upon, and you have no idea. And that's a hopeful thought.
I think a lot of our listeners, the reason they don't share their faith is because of a plethora of fears, of being rejected, of not knowing what to say. I guess you could say any excuse that they could find to not share their faith, the obstacles that are in their way. Before we got started in the interview, you mentioned that you have your own obstacle. Maybe you can share with our listeners how the importance of communicating the gospel is not hindered by any physical or emotional obstacle.
Sure. From about age 4, I've stuttered, and the words don't come well, and that's just me. That's the way that I talk. So often, for me, the words don't come. And that's hard. That can be tough, but I love me because that's the way God made me, and he loves me enough to take the hits for me. So I like me, but that's an obstacle for me. The other obstacles I have are fear of being too strong and beating folks over the head. And the other fear is I like people to like me, and I'm afraid that they won't like me if I try to push things on them. So for me, I don't push. There are two things I found helpful to me, and the first is to pray for the Lord to bring me to people who I can bring to him. And that just takes the burden off me, because I can't tell who's open, and I can't tell who I would be the right fit to bring the gospel to, and I can't tell 100 things, but he can tell. And I, in Peter, in the gospel, I think it's of John, Peter fished for a long time and couldn't catch any fish. And then Christ told him where he could catch fish, and he caught a whole boatload. So I was thinking, if he can do that with fish, could he do that for me with people? So I pray, Lord, bring me two friends who I can bring to you. And he's answered that time after time after time. And then the other thing I found helpful is to just extend the offer to a friend. If I've taken the time to be a friend, and I feel that there's an opening, that they're open to things of the Lord, I will extend an offer. That a friend once explained to me a thing that's called the gospel, and I'm just really thankful he had the guts and conviction to bring it to me. And I would love to bring to you the things my friend brought to me. Would you be open to lunch next Thursday, and I can tell you the things that my friend explained to me, and it's the core of the Bible? And often, I'd say I've offered that about 40 instances, and of those, maybe 30 instances, they answered, sure, let's do lunch next week. And of that, perhaps half of them came to faith. And for me, that's a way that's not beating them over the head. I'm just offering, and they can answer no. So that takes the fear away from me, in that I'm offering a thing that they can feel free to turn down.
The book is called Too Amazing to Keep to Yourself, Bringing Your Friends to Christ and Keeping Them as Friends. We've been talking with the author, Ken Wilson. Thank you, Ken, so much, not only for putting together this book in such a way that really glorifies the gospel, but helps us to have the confidence to communicate that good news to our friends and our loved ones and those around us in a way that will build relationships and not tear them apart.
Thank you, Adam.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.